This is Owen Ziegler at Payments.com, and I'm here today with Morgan Baird, Strategic Marketing Director at TSYS, to discuss the 2016 UK Consumer Payments Study. Welcome, Morgan.
Thank you, Owen. Good to be here.
So to get us started, what is the aim of the 2016 Payments Study?
Well, Owen, given our bird's eye view of the industry, we're increasingly asked for our perspective on where payments is heading. So to better understand the end user, the consumer that is the driving force behind our collective livelihood, last year we launched our inaugural report on consumer payments in the UK. So this year, the report, part of it is really just about comparing the key consumer payment topics with those of the previous year. But we've also added some sections around emerging payment topics that are obviously being currently discussed in the industry. So things such as peer-to-peer payments, M-payments, and virtual currencies. So the goal here is to really understand and examine these consumer trends and start predicting some future consumer behaviors in terms of payment technology adoption.
And particularly with the advent of M-banking features, it seems that consumers will be likely to want to self-manage and control specific functionalities of their cards. What do the data from the respondents indicate?
Yeah, Owen, what we figured out was it's really all about customer engagement. So coming into this research, our thesis was really that the convenience and control inherent in today's consumer digital lives, and I'm thinking now about the kind of the ease of which folks can slide their controls on their iPhones, that's really has started to extend into the expectations that the consumers have for engagement with their payment cards too. And the studies, the 2015 and the 2016 studies, have really confirmed the importance of these specific banking tools that allow consumers to start to really proactively manage, monitor, and track functionalities of their accounts. So, for instance, the idea that receiving alerts each time a transaction is made with a card and the ability to temporarily disable the account to prevent unauthorized transactions, those are two items that ranked quite highly, with over 60% of our respondents finding those features really valuable. So, you know, you kind of combine that with the whole idea that these control and preference management options are of particular interest when provided via the mobile channel, and we start to really understand what it means to focus in on the control and preference management capabilities.
Speaking about control, installments particularly enable shoppers another level of control. How valuable will that service be from a consumer point of view going forward, and which consumer segments particularly find this option valuable?
Yeah, and again, just as a little bit of context there, Owen, as the interchange fee caps have been introduced by the European Commission, the UK issuer's revenue mix has really been hard hit. So, of course, one way to address this income gap, if you will, is to identify revenue streams not tied to interchange fees in the first place. And installments is, of course, a great example of this. But the critical point from the survey was that there's a strong consumer proposition, too, behind installments. So the study showed a significant portion of respondents that they consider the idea of paying in installments a very attractive proposition. In fact, it was 45% of respondents that found installments to be either valuable or very valuable. And that was a statistically significant 7% increase over 2015. Now, when you ask about who in particular is interested, out of all the demographics we segmented, it was the age that stood out. In fact, the younger respondents overall tended to be more interested in installments. However, it was kind of an anomaly there that the 65 or older group kind of bucks that trend, and I find that fascinating as well. And I don't know if that's due to the fact that their fixed incomes in that group make installments an attractive option for pensioners or retirees, as you call them, stateside.
Oh, interesting. Well, alongside what consumers have been waiting for, I think a lot of merchants have been waiting for a breakthrough of mobile payments too, but until now, it's not really materialized in the UK. And were there any particular reasons that the study found for this?
Yeah, and just in general, for mobile payments to take off, there really has to be three kind of key technology adoption challenges that need to be met. So from the consumer side, the level of penetration of smartphones has to reach that tipping point. From the merchant acceptance perspective, it's all about the POS terminals and how they need to be upgraded to accept NFC payments. And then the play around security with tokenization and the secure element and HCE, et cetera, is increasingly in place. Those areas are increasingly in place to satisfy those barriers now. So smartphones are pretty much ubiquitous. The POS terminals are all going to be NFC enabled throughout Europe due to the 2020 Visa and MasterCard mandates. And that kind of leaves the consumers concerned with security. And that really was demonstrated and stuck out in the report or in the survey, where consumers rated security concerns as a leading impediment to this adoption. But it was kind of interesting to know that when we explained the benefits of the security of tokenization, a third of the respondents show that they'd be more inclined to use payments. While that's encouraging, of course, but the remaining two-thirds were not swayed to switch. As such, I think the long-term viability of M payments is about more than just overcoming technology constraints. It's really contingent upon the entire ecosystem to deliver much more of a demonstrable value add for the consumer above and beyond the traditional physical card payment. So, for example, what would it mean if we could deliver some mobile optimized loyalty programs or laser focused offerings for merchants that really enhance the cardholder lifestyle? I think those would be kind of an example of what would it take to overcome the two-thirds that weren't swayed by the security measures.
Okay. Was there anything unexpected that you found during the course of the study? Any surprising data points?
Yeah, there were quite a few, Owen. You know, one of the things that really stood out was the respondents' kind of awareness level of emerging payments overall. So in July of 2015, we witnessed the UK launch of Apple Pay. And as such, we kind of expected to see a higher level of awareness related to mobile payments and contactless in general. And that was the case. However, we were particularly surprised at the high level of awareness around P2P payments and virtual currencies. So specifically, 70% of respondents said knew about P2P payments and 43% knew of the virtual currencies like Bitcoin. So, of course, those data points kind of point to just how fascinating this realm will be to monitor and to participate in the near term.
And well, you mentioned contactless there, and as more consumers get to know and get familiar with this technology, there are always going to be those holdouts. Were there any particular reasonings behind those holdouts, why they maybe haven't adopted or jumped on the bandwagon just yet?
Yeah, Owen, there were. Let me just drop some stats on you for a little bit of context first. So we asked about overall awareness of contactless payments, and over 90% of respondents were indeed aware of contactless. The usage level, as you mentioned, it reaching critical mass, is at 50%, so it's pretty significant already. But when we looked at all of the sociodemographics again, it was the younger folks who respondents, that 18 to 34-year-old age group that was really driving the usage rates, together with the wealthier households, those with incomes over £50,000 per year. Now, the idea of the wealthier was kind of interesting because I think there's a natural positive correlation between income and contactless usage, but that may be due to the idea that contactless terminal deployments is really centered around London and the south of England, where incomes are higher in the first place. So it's kind of a chicken or the egg scenario there. But to answer your question more fully, you know, what are the issues with the holdouts? Well, I think there's a real opportunity to outreach or to further outreach to older generations, particularly focusing in on the security elements of contactless, and to continue to work with the merchant community outside of Greater London as well. But progress is happening on that last point. And, you know, just anecdotally, I live in the north of England in York, and I'm continually asking the retailers around here why they don't take contactless. And increasingly I'm hearing something along the lines of, you know, our POS terminals are enabled as of a couple of months ago. We're now just kind of waiting for the till systems to be upgraded. So the takeaway there for me is that things are coming, and coming pretty quickly too, in the contactless space.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned that contactless is coming pretty quickly, and it seems that a lot of other technologies are progressing as well. But where does that leave cash and the use of cash in the UK in, let's say, the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, Owen, I was just reading the other day a little bit of research from the UK Payments Council. They showed that the share of cash for consumer and business transactions just dropped below that magical 50% mark last year, kind of a 4% year-to-year decrease. So we can probably really expect to see this trend accelerate in the coming years, particularly as we see the continued shift to e-commerce. Couple that with the convenience that everybody's recognizing around contactless and mobile payments too. So I think the emerging payments like P2P and virtual currencies are still a bit of a wild card, but we should expect these trends to trend in the right direction. And we could see that probably by, if you were looking 4 or 5 years out, by like 2020, we'd see that well below, or the cash share of transactions well below 2020. But I think all of this kind of the idea of the diffusion of non-cash payments, it's really just incumbent upon us in the industry to cooperate in order for us to really see those advancements. And we're starting to see that cooperation blossom now. So I think it should be a really very exciting ride for those of us in the industry.
Well, it's definitely exciting to get some insight from some experts in the industry. I want to thank you a lot, Morgan, for taking the time to answer some questions.
Thank you, Owen. Enjoyed it.